Time Select is your ticket to news without the noise. A daily digital edition of news, business, lifestyle, sport, and more. It's news you can trust anytime, anywhere. We know that's important now more than ever, and that's why we're offering a 60-day subscription to Time Select for just 60 Rand. Go to select.timeslive.co.za/buy to sign up for this great deal. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and this is our Friday edition, which means the economic news for the week. We are talking the lockdown, we're talking stimulus, we're talking about a phased approach to reopening the economy. And to help us unpack some of the issues, we are joined on the line by Phil Alves, who is an economist and senior managing consultant at Berkeley Research Group. He has quite some experience just around some competition issues in South Africa, regulatory issues together with international trade economics. Phil, how are you?
As well as can be expected. Thank you very much.
No, we totally understand. Thank you so much for joining us. I think just as a way to begin the discussion, how have you found the COVID-19 crisis? What have you observed, I guess, in the markets, in the economy, your general sense up to this point? As South Africa at least gets into the last official week of the strict quote-unquote lockdown?
It's hard to keep personal issues out of one's impression of this crisis because it's affected us all on every level. And so it's difficult to focus on the economy only. But that is ultimately the most important part of the story, the economy and the people who depend upon it. By all accounts, from what we read in the press, people like yourselves and others providing us with much needed information, it seems like the pressure that has been rising on the government to produce a plan for support and recovery is justified. It seems like the lockdown, even the social distancing and other measures that people took upon themselves to implement before the lockdown, I think the closure of schools triggered quite a sharp reaction from wealthier people who could afford to maybe stay at home, work from home. I think the impacts on the real economy have been significant. And so, yes, the urgency around relaxing the lockdown, restarting what we can as safely as possible in the real economy is now very high, as is the urgency, I suppose, to put cash in the back pockets of people who have lost their livelihoods, potentially lost their jobs, and are now facing difficulty with basic survival.
So I guess going forward, the big news of the week, it was on two fronts from the president. First with the stimulus package announced earlier in the week. But I want to first focus on the news from last night, him just announcing the fact that they will be relaxing the lockdown somewhat, announcing a phased approach to reopening the economy and having certain industries going back to work, etc. How do you feel about the way that, I guess, he has communicated? Of course, we still need to get some firm understanding from the different and various ministries just around how it will be actioned on a practical level. But I guess, is this, in your view, a good way to at least have some people starting to generate an income again and some people actually being allowed to leave home and being allowed to participate in the economy?
I think that the approach is informed by the risk assessment on the health side. So the risk to the population and the risk to the health system of potential scenarios in which different scenarios for the virus spreading as we relax some of the restrictions. I'm not qualified to comment on that. So I think that, you know, to the extent that it is informed by people who are worried about that side of the equation, then this is probably the best way to go. I do think that what's very important, regardless of what happens with the lockdown and relaxation of the lockdown and the restart of economic activity, is the cash transfers and the stimulus package. Those have to start flowing regardless of what happens in the lockdown. And there's two reasons for that. One is immediate survival. Two is a collapse in demand that needs to be somehow restored in the short to medium term in order for there to be any demand when industries do start producing goods and services again. So that element wasn't discussed as much last night. It was discussed two nights ago. But I actually think it's the most important short-run element to get right. And there's been plenty of commentary from various people far more qualified than I am on the feasibility of actually getting cash into people's hands. But back to your question, yeah, I think that if the health experts tell us that a phased restart of production in certain industries where the risk of spread is the lowest under certain rules, like you can't bring more than a third of your workforce in at any time, if that's the way we have to go to protect our population and our healthcare system, then that's the way we have to go. I do think that what it does ultimately mean is that we will have a pretty slow, pretty painful, and pretty long recovery. It's certainly not going to be a V-shape, as some people were saying early on. I think it's now safe to assume that we're looking at something, a different shape, one with a longer period at the bottom before we start picking up again.
Now, on that longer period, I keep hearing revised, on our end, we keep hearing revised estimates. In the United States, I've just been interested in how the different companies are projecting that they will be going back to work, simply because in the US there seems to be this real urgency, at least from the president there, to get people back to work. So it's been quite interesting just to hear the ways that companies are talking. Some people are now saying August is when you're going to start seeing any type of recovery. But in the case of South Africa, who's to say how long each phase is going to be, how long they're going to last for? According to, I guess, the indication right now is that each phase is going to be about 3 or 4 weeks, you know, stuff like that. But who knows at this point? As you said, it's all about what the health experts are saying to us. But on the issue of the stimulus that you just came from highlighting just now, 500 billion rand is not a sleeping matter. That's $26 billion. I guess the big question on everyone's mind is, one, do we have that amount of money? And if we're going to borrow, what does that do for a country whose debt to GDP ratio is already so high and already one of the reasons why the country was already downgraded by the various ratings agencies like Moody's and the latest one being Fitch?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think just to pick up on your previous point, I think we have to accept that domestic demand and demand for our exports, particularly exports to Europe and North America, is probably going to take a while to recover, even if the supply side was able to flip a switch and come back to life immediately and in full production. Basically, that is the main reason why we should be expecting a fairly slow and fairly long recovery. What those assumptions actually are, I mean, the modeling from the Reserve Bank before the stimulus package was announced said something about, I think, a 6% contraction in output this year. So they must be making assumptions around how long this recovery will take. The stimulus package itself is in line with that. The sort of net new injection, if you take out the amount that will be appropriated from the budget that was passed in February, it's also around 67% of GDP, that net amount of about 370 billion. I mean, we're definitely looking at a significant supply and demand shock leading to a significant contraction in output with consequences for employment, income, inequality, and so on and so forth. Setting aside all of the other issues around schooling and other things which also have inequality dimensions and are equally, if not more, concerning. But to the specific point around the money that we may need to borrow under the stimulus plan, it's still not clear exactly what the borrowing requirement is, because I don't think they've announced how much they will take from the UIF surplus. But if we assume it's about about a 300 billion requirements in new borrowing. And if we assume even no contraction in GDP this year, on my back of the envelope calculations, we're looking at an increase in the debt to GDP ratio of about 7 points and an increase of about 11 points if we do assume that the economy shrinks by 6% this year. And that is significant. I mean, the official numbers in the February budget said before guarantees, our debt to GDP in 2019 was 55%. If we add 11 points to that, we're at 66% immediately in this year. And I think as recently as March or February, economists were concerned about hitting 70% by 2022-23, and were saying that we needed major spending cuts to stabilize at 80% over the next 5 years. I mean, those concerns are all still valid, but are basically going to be ignored. And obviously, we can't just keep letting the debt stock keep rising. So the question is, you know, who can we borrow from? The priority is to borrow as cheaply as possible to make sure that interest payments don't crowd out other forms of government spending that is needed. And I think inevitably what we're going to see is some other forms of government spending will have to be cut much more than the original plan as of February 2020.
Phil, one of the things I'm quite interested to hear your thoughts on, and it's something that we've been asking other guests, and it ties directly to this debt issue that you're talking about, together with more importantly what you're saying about who do you borrow from, because the country has to borrow, I guess, has to get money as cheaply as possible. And it seems that for some countries, the cheapest way to for most countries, if not all countries, the cheapest way to get money is to print your own money, which is what we're seeing happening in the United States. Why is this not perhaps an avenue that South Africa is either exploring or something that we can't realistically do? I've heard many different views on this, but you know, what are your thoughts on us maybe just printing our way out of this possible recession?
Good question. I think there are significant risks with printing money. Look, I think first point here is that reductions in the repo rates have already created money in the economy, right? That's how this economy creates money. it's through the extension of credit from through the commercial banking sector, who ultimately their cost of funds is determined by the central bank, the South African Reserve Bank. So that's already happened, right? We've had a 200 basis point cut in the repo rate. There is also, I guess, a quasi form of money printing going on, a quasi form of quantitative easing going on through the Reserve Bank's liquidity program, buying government bonds. So there are kind of versions of money printing already happening, but it's certainly not what we see or have seen in the States or in the West, let's say, after the global financial crisis and now. And why is it not that? Well, I think there's one simple reason. Our interest rates are not at zero. And until they are at zero, resorting to money printing shouldn't be your first option, right? Your interest rate lever is still the first one you should be pulling. And then there is still the question of, you know, when we get to zero, is it safe for an unstable economy like South Africa with a volatile exchange rate and concerns over government debt and its ability to pay that debt and risks around default and so on and so forth? Should an economy like that, as opposed to an economy like the States, be printing money? And I still think the answer there is probably that there are significant risks to doing so around inflation, number one, and perceptions from foreign investors, number two. We need their money, right? We have to have their money. We don't save enough domestically. We have to have foreign investors pouring money into the economy to finance our current account gap. So for all those reasons, I would be concerned to see talk of quantitative easing, North American style, getting more serious in South Africa, certainly while interest rates are positive.
So that's been it with Phil Alves, who's an economist and senior managing consultant at Berkeley Research Group, just giving us some highlights just around some of the big economic news from the week. Last night we had the President Cyril Ramaphosa announcing a phased reopening of the economy, and on Tuesday, he announced a 500 billion rand stimulus package for South Africa. We have Phil just saying that right now, one of the big concerns at the moment is that the recovery might take longer than people, you know, had originally anticipated. And if, you know, all indications are to be taken seriously, and a cure or a vaccine is not taken up anytime soon, then it means that time at the bottom is going to extend out, and that the actual recovery will come much later than expected. He's also just highlighting the fact that printing money for a country like South Africa, it would be a bit tough. The interest rates aren't at the level that they are in a place like the US, and there's a lot of leaning on foreign direct investment that's needed for the South African economy. And then in terms of whether the phased opening, you know, is the way forward, well, just depends, because even if the economy is to open right now, he's just highlighting the fact that if you can't get your exports out to the US or to China or to Europe, for example, then there will still be industries that will be struggling along. So a full recovery will only happen when South Africa and the rest of the world are all recovering at the same time. So that's been it. Phil, how can people perhaps engage with you if they want to either pick your brain or, you know, perhaps just to hear your thoughts on other matters?
I think LinkedIn is one of the best ways to find me. Just search for Phil Alves, BRG. Otherwise, our website address is thinkbrg.com, thinkbrg.com. You can look us up under the economics and damages part of the business.
Time Select is your ticket to news without the noise, a daily digital edition of news, business, lifestyle, sport, and more. It's news you can trust anytime, anywhere. We know that's important now more than ever, and that's why we're offering a 60-day subscription to Time Select for just 60 Rand. Go to select.timeslive.co.za/buy to sign up for this great deal.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very good discussion coming through with Phil from, you know, BRG. Really enjoyed that one. In terms of what's happened this week, the big news of the week, the oil price to start off, you know, because that's something we really didn't touch on too much. The fact that oil ended up being, you know, negative early in the week, that's really big news. And it might result in us getting lower fuel prices sometime in May. But it does beg the question of who's actually going to benefit from such a thing, especially if a lot of people will still likely be working from home or still be indoors at that time. And it's unlikely, given the state of things, that your food producers and other essential services will pass on that cost savings to consumers. Very unlikely at this moment, because people are doing everything in their power to protect their margins. So if they can save on fuel and maximize their margins that they're getting from consumers, then I guess so be it on that front. Negative oil prices, simply because there's just too much oil on the market right now, and you're finding a situation where people are actually paying people to buy the oil. That's how crazy things have become. In South Africa, that 500 billion rand stimulus package that's come through from the South African government really paints a picture of how dire the situation is, how bad the situation is. I'm used to always saying dire when it comes to coronavirus, but when you quantify it as to 500 billion, just talking about the fact that 5 weeks of economic inactivity get you to that point, it sort of sinks in the head. But more than anything else, it would be interesting to see what that's actually going to do to the debt to GDP ratio. You heard that back of the napkin calculation from Phil about how it might raise this by about 6 or 7 points. on that end. But the other one will just be in terms of getting people back to work. The other thing will be, one, how quickly is it going to happen? Because the timelines are a bit tough to estimate at the point, because as much as some people are saying that each stage will be about 3 or 4 weeks, who's to say that infections might not go, up during that time? Or in fact, they might actually come down significantly enough for people to perhaps skip a stage. So there's still a bit of uncertainty on that front. And tied into the debt to GDP issue is just the fact that if people do start working again and there is demand that comes back, hopefully, one would hope that the government won't have to go out and borrow as much if the country does get back on a recovery path. So that's been it in terms of this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.